This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
Redefining financial literacy. I'm talking today with Cindy Kayumjian, CFP, on her new book, Redefining Financial Literacy and Unlocking Your Financial Future. As the founder of Synergy Financial, Cindy believes that financial literacy is a moral imperative, which is why she devoted her professional life to help people understand the constantly evolving financial and economic landscape. She believes that well-informed and knowledgeable investors are equipped to make better decisions. Previously, Cindy could be heard on a weekly radio broadcast on KABC and KRLA. Currently, she is on AZ Daily TV with Brad Perry, Channel 7 in the morning. Cindy, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Thanks so much. To get started, why did you write the book?
You know, in my 35-year career meeting different types of clients, I realized that financial literacy and lack of knowledge was a big problem for investors. And I felt that, you know, with my experience and my expertise, that getting a book out there, not only on microfinancial literacy, which is, there's a lot of books out there on, you know, budgeting, savings, emergency fund, but something on more macroeconomics and what I believe is affecting our retirement system, creating a retirement crisis in America, both with our money and our withdrawal rates, as well as sustaining us during our retirement years.
And with that, why are we facing a financial crisis in America in general at this point in time?
Well, I think, you know, that relates to what happened last year with COVID. You know, a lot of us had a wake-up call when almost 40 to 50% of Americans did not have an emergency fund, and that people were not prepared for the unexpected. A lot of people were living on credit cards as their emergency fund, and I just think the lack of knowledge and information has really put investors at a disadvantage when it comes to their finances.
And with that, do you see this really any different outside of COVID, a long-term trend of crisis and problem with understanding finances, investment by Americans? COVID may have brought out and exposed even more the long-term problems, but have these problems been really have they been in existence for quite a while?
Well, I mean, I am writing more books, and I'm going to be explaining where I believe and what time frame this problem took to get where we are today. I think it started in the 1970s, and I think it was a 50-year window that took economic ideologies and political ideologies to create the social issues we have in America. And the problem with our finances today is, you know, 20, 30 years ago when my father retired, he relied on his pension at GM and Social Security. So he wasn't concerned about having to save much money, even though they did most of their savings the last 10 years of their working years to retire comfortably. The problem with today is the research says that less than 3% of Americans have a pension. And Social Security, you know, based on what's going on with how much they're spending and sending out, may go insolvent in 2034. So that doesn't mean people will lose their Social Security. It just means that Social Security may be reduced. So a great majority of your retirement now is put, the burden is put on the American investor to create and accumulate wealth to create a sustainable retirement. And I just, you know, I think there's a major problem, especially with CNBC last year. They came out and said that 75% of investors reject advice, and that's a big problem today.
As well. And kind of benchmarking the U.S. to Canada, European countries, countries in Asia, from your take, are we doing better than most, or are we behind in what consumers and individuals are doing in other countries? What's your take on that?
Well, the research, I'm glad you asked that question, because the research states we rank 18%. Think about this. We're a superpower, and based on financial knowledge and literacy, we rank 18% out of 128 countries in the world. And the United States has only 6 states in America that has one standalone class in finance in high school that's required. So if you think about our educational system, we have classes on grammar, English, math, science. But the missing link here is finances are so complex, it needs to be started early in the educational process with repetition, so that by the time investors get out of college, they are well equipped with the tools they need to build a successful retirement.
And with that, what are some current financial tips, guidance that you'd recommend for the average American?
Well, with this COVID crisis, I think people need to start tracking their expenses. And I don't like to even use the word budget, because a lot of Americans, 60% of Americans don't budget, and people don't like that word. So I think it takes a moment for you just to jot down what your monthly income is and find out where it's going. And budgeting goes hand in hand with emergency funds. So people shouldn't use their credit cards to, you know, pay for an emergency thing that might occur with a car or a maintenance problem in your home. I think investors need to consider 3 to 6 months worth of emergency fund. Track your expenses. It's psychological. It's motivating. It's inspiring. It's also frustrating. But if you can get through that process, then you can start considering to pay yourself first. What do I mean by that? Americans save approximately 7% of their income. I think they need to consider 10, 15, 20% of their income. Use that money, start building that short-term emergency fund, and start investing in your retirement. But most importantly, spend mindfully.
I'm chatting with Cindy Kuyumjian, author of Redefining Financial Literacy, and this is The Anderson Files on podclips.io. Cindy, to continue with financial tips, some suggestions on compelling, motivating individuals to get into the mode of managing their finances, their investments, their retirement more effectively?
Well, first off, is investors need to be engaged and accountable. You know, there are financial professionals like myself that will help and guide my investors and monitor their success. But a lot of it comes from themselves internally. It's almost like starting a diet. How am I going to start my investment plan? How much do I need to save to meet my goals? So investors need to start the educational process, and that means taking action steps. A few minutes a day, whether it's a video, a YouTube video, a book, or even podcasts, to start educating you so that you at least have the wherewithal to ask the right questions. And once you have questions, then you can consider hiring a professional to guide you into the right path of, you know, where you want to go, when do you want to get where you want to go, what type of risk are you willing to take, and what is the expectation you want on your investments. So that's where the professional will come into place. But the individual needs to not feel ashamed, not feel anxious and uncertain because they lack financial knowledge. They must take little steps and start the process versus, you know, ignore it, because a lot of people feel bad that they don't know what they should know about money.
And Cindy, as as we're experiencing COVID, and hopefully we're in the phase of coming out, what do you recommend considering in financial and retirement planning?
Well, I mean, the first thing people need to talk about is, when do they want to retire? I mean, couples, research says that most couples don't talk about when they want to retire. So I think it's sitting down, it's called structure, it's called planning, it's called making decisions logically about your finances, not emotionally. And once you can get to that point that you're willing to sit down and confront your finances and get started, I think that's half the battle.
And to be able to continue with that and being able to handle these issues on an individual basis in a digital age. Could we touch on that a bit in regards to investing in a digital age? This is part of the content of a section of your book.
Yeah, okay, so the problem is, I think part of the financial literacy crisis comes from the digital age, because people have access to so much information that it's a new psychology term, it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect, that people are a little bit overconfident to how much knowledge they have about a particular subject when you have access to so much information. So the digital age, definitely there's advantages and disadvantages. Disadvantages mean that you can pretty much find anyone to agree with you on the internet. The advantage is that you can get access to a lot of information, but the question is, is the practitioner you're listening to experienced, knowledgeable? Do they have the credentials that can guide you? Because in the digital age, you're going to have a lot of people who may not necessarily have the right credentials, experience, and background giving advice. So, you know, you have to decipher who's the professional, who's the one with the credentials and the licenses, and who has the experience, because you got to sort through that as well as the information, because when you're listening, you want to make sure that the information is factual, is research-based, and it makes logical sense for you to execute whatever your goals and objectives are.
Cindy Kuyumjian is my guest, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Cindy, to continue, there's a section in the book that is titled To Dare Greatly. What is that for the individual? What's the message?
So some people don't even begin to start the process because they're scared of making mistakes. So I think part of money, dealing with money, is making mistakes and learning from our mistakes. So people need to step up and try versus not even try. So, you know, as people accumulate money, the problem is when you don't have money, you can't get emotional about your investing. But when you start accumulating money, that's when you get emotional, and you need to have a coach and somebody who could be your sounding board in the decisions that you make. Because it's easy to become emotional when you invest your money on your own and you're trying to figure out the world of finance. And another message behind that, too, is, you know, especially women. There's a section in the book that I end on women. There's some big changes coming in America where women are going to be managing two-thirds of the wealth in the next 10 years and making 95% of the decisions at home. The problem with that is women have a below-average financial literacy knowledge base, and that's very problematic. So, you know, women are not necessarily scared of volatility as though men are in respect to risk, but women, their biggest fear is not knowing. So I think more than ever, women need to step up and start attending meetings with their spouses and getting engaged, because women want equality, and the only way they're going to get equality in the future is through financial literacy and being knowledgeable or as knowledgeable as men, or working together with their spouses so that, you know, they're well equipped, because women have to deal with the big three D's: divorce, disability, and death. And they can't walk away from this any longer. They need to get involved. They need to be engaged, inspired, and motivated.
And with that, would you recommend that they have a team of trusted advisors with them and being advocates and watching their back?
If a female is actually managing her own wealth, she should have a team. You should have an accountant. You should have an attorney for your estate tax needs, whether it be power of attorney, a healthcare directive, or a trust. And you should have a financial planner. I like to work in a team effect when I work with my clients to make sure that we come together and are doing what's in the best interest of that client from a tax standpoint, their estate planning, as well as their investment planning. So having a team approach is critical.
I agree. And regarding investment choice and where to allocate dollars, what do you have an opinion, an approach to where alternative investments, where their place is in the planning process for an individual, a couple, a family?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question because the model of stocks and bonds, the 60-40, 60 stocks, 40 bonds that have been used for decades by individual investors have been excellent. The performance has been great. Things have gone along perfect. However, if you take a look at the last 20 years, there's been some major changes going on with this investment strategy that investors have relied on. Number one, stocks and bonds are starting to move in the same direction over the last 20 years, and there's a reason for that, and I talk about that in my book. And typically, people buy a stock and a bond because it moves in opposite directions. So the 60-40 is now becoming a little bit more problematic than in the past. Number two, bonds used to sort of absorb the risk if the stock market dropped. The problem with bonds is there's very, very little yield today, and the withdrawal rates have technically dropped significantly. So if someone's going to retire, that 4% safe withdrawal rate may not be suitable. And last but not least, the increased volatility in the stock market, as we saw during COVID, the Dow dropping 40% in 10 days, investors are scared, they're uncertain. So if you have increased volatility, low yields, and correlation risk, that's where Bank of America and Morgan Stanley just came out recently, in which I believe 20 years ago the 60-40 was broken. Susie Orman just came out saying the 60-40 is broken. And that is the number one reason I wrote my book outside of helping investors become more financially literate. I think there's a different approach to investing going forward based on macroeconomics, based on this political and economic risk. A multi-asset class strategy that the endowments, these large colleges have been doing for 35 years, beating the market with less risk, is a potential way that if they've been successful with a multi-asset class strategy, investors need to read about this new strategy. Because alternative investments, I started using in 2003, have evolved significantly in the last 17 years. And I do believe it's a strategy that will help smooth out volatility, could potentially give you higher withdrawal rates in a low interest rate environment, and provide you the returns you're looking for. So a new methodology is here, I believe, in my opinion, and it's up to not only the advisor to start learning new ideas and incorporating them in their clients' portfolios, but also for the public to start asking questions about alternative investments.
And with that moving away from the classic 60-40 stock to bond allocation, you know, in round numbers, do you think the future is now, you know, 50, 30, 20 stock bond alternative? Is there some kind of general range of number that you have in mind? Granted, knowing everyone's circumstances are going to be a little different.
Yeah, everyone's situation is different. But I see, you know, David Swanson pioneered the Yale Endowment Model. And if you Google him, you will see he has a equal allocation with multi-asset classes. So if he had five asset classes he was using, and I'm not saying he's doing 20% in stocks, bonds, and the other alternatives, because the endowments were overweighted heavily in alternatives. But I do think, depending on if the alternative is liquid or illiquid, depending on the client's net worth based on suitability, there is a reason to start allocating a percentage. that could range as small as 10% to as high as 30%. An alternative to smooth out the risk and to complement your portfolio, because if investors don't consider other asset classes, the probability of running out of money, Yahoo Money just did some research last year and saying 40% of Americans are going to run out of money before they run out of time. So the time is now to learn about those new strategies, to combat factors you and I don't have control over, and start learning a new dance. And I think if you take the time, it will be very beneficial for you, your loved ones, and your retirement.
Cindy, where can listeners find your new book, Redefining Financial Literacy?
They can go to Amazon and put Redefining Financial Literacy, Cindy, and it should pop up. I was the book got rated a Wall Street Journal bestseller last week, so we're very excited about it. You can also go to my website. My last name is difficult, so we named my company Synergy Financial. It sounds like Cindy, C-I-N-E-R-G-Y, financial.com. And if you go in the left-hand corner of my website, I'm adding my link to my YouTube, because I send all my TV, all my podcasts, my radio, my lectures all go to my podcast, my YouTube channel. So you can go there, or you can just go on my website. I have many interactive videos there. I give you access to podcasts on my website, my books. So it's a plethora of information to help investors start with the educational process and ask questions so they can start learning.
Cindy Kuyumjian is my guest. And Cindy, best of luck with the book, and thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.